Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 25, text 43. Fourth canto, yeah?
Naruvacha iti tau dampati tatra samudya samayam mitaha tam pravishya purim rajan mumudate shatam samaha.
The great sage Narada continued, "My dear king, those two, the man and the woman, supporting one another through mutual understanding, entered that city and enjoyed life for 100 years. Purport. 100 years is significant in this connection because every human being is given the concession to live up to 100 years. The span of life is different on different planets, according to the planet's distance from the sun. In other words, 100 years on this planet is different from 100 years on another planet. Lord Brahma lives for 100 years according to time on the Brahmaloka planet, but one day of Brahma is equal to millions of years on this planet. Similarly, the days on the heavenly planets are equal to 6 months on this planet. On every planet, however, the span of life for a human being is roughly 100 years. According to the lifespans on different planets, the standards of living also differ."
Narada Vacha iti tau dampati tatra samudya samayam mitaha tam pravishya purim rajan mumudate shatam samaha. Dampati means husband and wife. Samudya samayam mitaha. They should be equally enthusiastic, and samayam mitaha means understanding one another, supporting one another, mutually encouraging one another. This is the right kind of matching of husband and wife. The husband should encourage the wife in her prescribed duties. The wife should encourage the husband. They should be very sympathetic to one another, helping one another, understanding one another. And in this way, they form a team for their activities. Now it's only a question of what activities they're mutually enthusiastic about. There are activities in goodness, activities in passion, activities in ignorance, and transcendental activities. And they may encourage one another in any direction. But if they encourage one another in passion and ignorance, then they'll make their lives miserable. Individually, anyone who's cultivating passion and ignorance or living according to the influence of passion and ignorance will be miserable. And if you multiply two together, then with redoubled efforts, they can make themselves doubly miserable or more than double. Rajasastu palam dukkham. In the Bhagavad Gita, it's said that the fruit, the outcome of passion is suffering. Rajasastu palam dukkham. But by the influence of the illusory energy, it appears to be the path to enjoyment. Vishayendriya samyogat, samyogat yattara agre mritopamam. From the sense gratification, from the contact of the senses with the objects of the senses, nectar appears, or something that appears like nectar. Yattadagre amritopamam. But pariname vishamiva, at the end, it turns to poison. It turns bitter, it turns horrible. Tatsukam rajasam smritam. This is happiness in the mode of passion. And sattvat sanjayate jnana. From the mode of goodness comes knowledge. Sukhe sattvam sanjayati. Sattvam sukhe sanjayati. From the mode of goodness comes actual happiness. Yattaragre vishamiva. In the beginning it appears to be like poison, because there's austerity, there's limitation, there's trouble to undergo, to control the senses, to limit sense gratification. So it appears to be just like poison in the beginning. But pariname mritopamam, at the end, it's just like nectar. Yattadagre vishamiva pariname mritopamam tatsukam sattvikam proktam atmabuddhi prasadajam. Because it awakens self-realization and satisfaction. Senses will not be satisfied by sense gratification, by any amount of sense gratification. Rather, they become more and more agitated and more dissatisfied. But atmabuddhi prasadajam, when one comes to the mode of goodness, one learns to be satisfied. That all right, enough. According to my quota, what Krishna has given, enough. According to what I need, that's enough, not more. Atmabuddhi, because the real thing is, in the mode of goodness, one develops knowledge, one develops self-realization, and that's where the actual happiness comes from. The happiness found in the material world is the happiness that the deer goes searching for in the desert. And the happiness of the spiritual world, brahmasokyam tvanantam, is unlimited happiness. Therefore, where the human life is meant for unlimited happiness, and therefore it's meant for austerity. Because by austerity, one gets that happiness. So the life of the husband and wife, stri means one who expands. It's energy. Prakriti means energy. So the wife expands the energy of the husband, or by her energy, the wife expands family life. But which way will she expand it? For increased sense gratification or increased self-realization? On the path of increased sense gratification, the wife thinks, I'll enjoy. The husband thinks, I'll enjoy. But they become more and more bound to hard work for the so-called enjoyment. Everything is expensive. And for the expense of enjoyment, one works like a dog. Tripyanti neha kripana bahuduka bhaja. So one's never satisfied, but one's miseries increase. And if the wife encourages the husband for self-realization, then his energy for Krishna consciousness also increases. Similarly, if the husband encourages the wife for excessive sense gratification, then he's misleading his wife and misleading himself and opening the doors for miserable life. And when he controls his senses and encourages the wife for spiritual realization, devotional service, Krishna consciousness, then he acts as the spiritual master of the wife. He acts according to his actual duty. And family life becomes progressive for spiritual advancement. The wife is not a machine for sense gratification, nor is the husband a machine for working hard and providing sense gratification. Kamasya na indriya pritir labo jiveta yavata. Life is not meant for sense gratification, either individually or in groups of two or expanding three, four. Labo jiveta yavata. Only minimum, what we need, we should accept. Jivasya tattva jigyasa. That means sex life is not meant to be unrestricted. Dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamosmi. Krishna says that sex accepted for the purpose or accepted in a manner which is not contrary to dharma, to religious principles, represents him. It represents Krishna himself. What is sex not contrary to religious principles? It means sex for having good children. That's sex which is not contrary to religious principles. Not for recreation. Not for sense enjoyment. Not for pleasing the senses and avoiding pregnancy. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada says there's a misunderstanding that when you're married you can just have sex as you like. Prabhupada says one has to ask the spiritual master's permission before having sex. Because it's meant to be devotional service. It's meant to be devotional service. That purpose should be there. To have sex for begetting good children. Then it's a representation of Krishna. Otherwise, it's a representation of Maya. So the husband and wife should encourage one another in Krishna consciousness. And they should not encourage one another in illusion. That takes discipline. That takes self-control. That takes engagement. If one has to be seriously engaged in Krishna's service, always. Otherwise, what will we do? So the duty of the husband actually is to engage the wife in Krishna's service. Not that now I have a nice wife and she's meant for satisfying my senses. Tripyanti neha, your senses will never be satisfied. Just like the spiritual master. The spiritual master gets so many disciples. The disciples want to please him. It's not that the business of the spiritual master is, how can these disciples contribute to my enjoyment? How can they be engaged in the service of Krishna? The husband's business is to engage the wife. Therefore, the deity is installed in the home or nearby temple. And husband and wife are meant to be servants of the deity, not servants of their senses. Always engaged in the service of Krishna. Serving the deity, better still, preaching Krishna consciousness. It's mentioned in Bhagavatam, the husband should engage his wife for the service of others. Should engage his wife in the service of others. Not that everything is for me. If we go down the path of sense gratification, there'll be disappointment, there'll be frustration, there'll be anger, there'll be divorce, there'll be remarriage, divorce, remarriage, divorce, remarriage, divorce. Other things going on the side. The wife thinks, let me encourage my husband in passion. Then when he's encouraged in passion, well, this wife is not good enough. So she's, the American English expression is shooting oneself in the foot. Similarly, the husband who simply encourages the wife in sense gratification, she may also come to the conclusion, this husband is useless for sense gratification. This guy over here is better. Because no one will ever be good enough. The secret of sense gratification is that it's a process of diminishing returns. Tasmat tvam indriyanyado niyamya bharatarshava. Therefore, from the very beginning, whether one is brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, everyone should control the senses. And everyone should be engaged in devotional service to Krishna. Therefore, the brahmachari training is important. Whether one is going to remain brahmachari or whether one is going to marry. Because in brahmachari life, one learns to control the senses. One learns the basic principles of self-realization. Brahmachari gurukule vasandanta guru arhitam. Simply to go to school and chant a few mantras in the beginning, that's something else. But actually, gurukul means to learn how to control the senses and to become the slave of Krishna and Krishna's representative. We're meant for slavery, one way or the other. So whose slaves are we going to be? We're either going to be Krishna's slaves or Maya's slaves. So better to be Krishna's slave, because Krishna is a very good master. Praharshi Ashyami Sanata Jivita. If one gets such a master as Krishna, one will be happy. Otherwise, to become the servant of the senses, slave of the senses, means to go on suffering and suffering. So here, the husband and wife supported one another by mutual enthusiasm, mutual encouragement. But as we'll find out as the chapter unfolds, it wasn't directed toward the highest goal. And therefore, the city in which they entered ultimately became a place of disaster. So one is not meant to waste the human life 100 years or any years following the path to disaster. One should follow the path back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Are there some questions? Yes. Microphone.
So thank you, Maharaj, for your enlightenment class, as ever you do. So about you described the position of vihastha life, that wife should not be a machine of enjoyment for the husband and mutually. And also that happened in Vrindavan, when not only the vihastas, but we came with the spirit of enjoyment, not the service. So my question is, how can we rectify this position of the wife and husband to be engaged fully in Krishna consciousness, not to be enjoyment for each other? How we can rectify this?
They have to rectify. We can't rectify.
How they can do?
Everything's individual. We try to provide, of course, temple environment, a beautiful darshan of the deities, kirtan, opportunities for preaching, nice festivals. All of these things are meant to attract us to the service of Krishna. And the program should go on so nicely that everyone will feel that let us come, let us take part in the darshan and the kirtan, let us hear from Bhagavatam, let us spread this message to others. Things should be so nicely organized that it's easy to be attracted. But then on the other side, it's up to me. I can, however attractive it is, I can turn my back on it or not give it sufficient importance. So one has to be serious. I had a teacher in grade school. He said that it's not just a process of osmosis that you learn things, you know, not just by sitting there. Of course, if we sit there in the class, we will learn. But we have to be serious. Vairagyena chagriyate. Abhyasena tukontiya, vairagyena chagriyate. By practice and detachment. Well, these are cultivated by constant chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There's Krishna and there's Maya. If we turn this way, there's Krishna. If we turn that way, there's Maya. So we should always try to turn our attention toward Krishna. Bhajante mam dridha vritaha. Utsaha nishchaya dharya. Enthusiasm, determination. Therefore, we know one householder couple, they got married, and for their honeymoon, they went on parikrama of Govardhan. Very nice. They know where the honey actually is.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much. Wonderful class. Maharaj, especially in the Kali Yuga, we are all super conditioned. We are all very much conditioned. So when, especially when we come into Krishna consciousness in the earlier days, what are the practicalities involved? You know, do you just cut off all the conditioning in one go, or is it a gradual process, or how do you move towards Krishna consciousness, being fully Krishna conscious?
How does one
do you just break all the bonds at one time, or is it a gradual progression, or how do you go about it practically?
Practically, one has to follow the directions of the bona fide spiritual master. We have our program, everything is there. To rise early in the morning, chant Hare Krishna, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and engage in so many activities for Krishna's service. It's there. There's no special secret that one is disclosed after 20 years. It's there from the beginning. And from the beginning, there are four regulative principles. No gambling, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex. One has to take these things seriously. Before initiation, do what you like. But if after one is initiated means to seriously practice, bhajana kriya. Practice means negative and positive. Negatively to avoid these four unwanted activities, sinful activities. And positively to chant the holy name of the Lord. and arrange one's life in such a way that it's conducive to this program.
Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna. Between a man and woman and a boy and a girl, there's a particular type of attraction. And we could see in the spiritual world that this attraction doesn't have to be strictly sexual. So in a grihastha relationship, should this type of attraction between a man and woman be restricted or neglected in any way? And to what extent?
It must be restricted. Just like fire. If you're unrestricted in the way you use fire, what will happen? There must be restriction. Anything. You eat too much, you'll suffer. Anything too much, there'll be suffering. So naturally a woman is attracted to a man is attracted to a woman. So there are three ashrams in which that's cut severely. Brahmacharya ashram, cut. Sannyasa ashram, completely cut. Vanaprastha ashram, cutting. And grihastha ashram, there's some scope. In one sense, it's sexual attraction. The boy is attracted to a girl because she's a girl. Girl's attracted to a boy because he's a boy. So it is sexual attraction. Unless there's sexual attraction, what's the need of the whole thing? But that should not be the overwhelming feature. Just like eating. Eating is required. But if our whole life becomes eating, then life is gone. So there's scope in household life for the wife to encourage the husband by, just like the wife will smile nicely and the husband becomes encouraged. Some guy smiles at him, it doesn't work the same way. But his wife smiles at him, he becomes encouraged. But that smiling should be for encouragement in spiritual activities, finally. Woman's always trying to get her way. So, let's go on Sankirtan. Let's go on to Sankirtan. Can we go out? Wouldn't it be fun to distribute books? Encouraging in Krishna consciousness. Let's start a center. So many ways. And because they're married, there's sense gratification also. But that's not the point. That should be, must be restricted. Otherwise, materially there'll be suffering, and spiritually there'll be nothing. Is that okay? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, you have given a wonderful class. Maharaj, yes, Srila Prabhupada says this, the beginning of our spiritual life is from Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma.
Is from Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma.
Yeah. So if husband and wife, they're engaged in the service of Lord Krishna, then how can they have sex?
If a man and wife are... Okay, the beginning of spiritual life is Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. If a man and woman are Krishna conscious, how can they have sex?
Yeah.
Pretty easily. Actually, it's their duty. It's their duty that we're married, so we should have children, Krishna conscious. But not the sex of the materialists. That this is how we become happy. The more sex, the more happiness. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Because of the body, the demand is strong. Demand is strong. Therefore, Prabhupada said no one has to teach them how to have sex. Automatically, the attraction is there. So, we don't have to study how to have sex. But we do need to study how to control sex. And main thing is by raso varjam raso pyasya, by superior engagement. Param drishtva nivartate.
Even in Maharaj in ISKCON, I've heard that someone has explained the word wife. W is meant for like wonderful, and I means instrument, and F for F means for, and E means enjoyment. I have heard someone has explained this word, a wonderful instrument for enjoyment.
Wonderful instrument for enjoyment.
They have someone has explained the word.
Yeah, that's called Maya. One of my godbrothers got married, and Prabhupada spontaneously, you know, wrote him a letter. It wasn't a response to anything. Spontaneously wrote him, and now you're a married man, and should be Krishna conscious. And I remember he said, not that your wife is a machine for sense gratification. In that sense, we're very much in tune with the feminist, modern feminist viewpoint. They object that we're just seen as objects. And we agree that a woman is not just meant to be an object for a man's sense gratification. She's meant to be she's a servant of Krishna. He's a servant of Krishna. She's a servant of Krishna. And they're both meant to be engaged for Krishna's enjoyment. That's the actual position. And the wife also, not that my husband is an unlimited source of material paraphernalia and increasing our material scope and providing material enjoyment. That will lead to disappointment and suffering. The husband is meant to be encouraged in devotional service. That's the wife's duty. Yes?
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class. I was just wondering if a woman doesn't want to have sex or have children, but all women need to be protected by a husband, plus the woman thinks it's a good idea for to work together in Krishna consciousness, should she still get married?
A woman doesn't want to have children, but she feels the need to be protected in Krishna consciousness. Should she get married?
Not just protected, but wants to work together with someone.
Wants to work together with someone. Tough question. From one point of view, no. If you want to work with someone, work with Krishna. He's more reliable. He'll never leave you or divorce you. He'll never change his mind and say, well, originally it was just like we were going to be friends, but now I want something else. He'll never die. He'll never get old. Never look terrible. Therefore, Rukmini said that anyone who's married to anyone other than Krishna has a husband who's just a bag of mucus, bile, and air with some eyebrows pasted on above his eyes and a mustache. That's her husband. So better to be attached to Krishna.
Hare Bol, thank you.
Hare Krishna. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you. My question was, like you said, that it's not in our hands. Like, I mean, to control sex, it's in our hands. We have to make endeavor to control.
Yeah.
So, as what I am thinking is that, can that also come naturally in the sense that as we engage ourselves in Krishna consciousness, husband and wife, so we engage in different activities like preaching, deity worship. So
Does this control of the senses come naturally as we're engaged in? It does. But naturally means determination also.
Yes.
Just like getting up in the morning, it comes naturally. Those who have been devotees for many years, they look forward to getting up in the morning. But in the beginning, it takes some determination. 4 o'clock in the morning. It takes some determination, although it's natural, actually, to get up early before the sun rises and have so many spiritual activities. It's very natural for those who are doing it. But it takes some determination also because we're in an unnatural state of life. Conditioned life is unnatural. Embodied life is unnatural. And so we're subjected to these unnatural desires, unnatural forces, unnatural... And we think it's natural. You know, follow your heart. And what's your heart tell you to do? Your heart tells you to get in bed with your husband's best friend's wife and, you know, all these kind of things. If we just go by what naturally comes out of the heart, you know, it's like opening a garbage can. So much junk is in the heart. That's why Cheto Darpana Marjanam. There's no need of cleaning unless there's dirt there. So if we just follow our hearts and sort of wait for Krishna consciousness to click in, it's not how it works. But there's sadhana, there's practice. These things I have to do, these things I have to not do. And because I'm following those practices, my real nature awakens. My real nature awakens. And then I'm racing to Mangalarti, I'm enthusiastic to come to the class, I can't wait to go out and distribute some books. My real nature comes out. And of course, then it's natural. The more that comes out, the more the Maya quotient goes down. And it's natural from the beginning. Even very beginner in Krishna consciousness, he chants Hare Krishna and he feels like, you know, what is this material anything? Let me go on chanting like this. It's so effective. It's so powerful. It's such a powerful thing. Chanting of the holy name, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. All of these methods are potent. But we need to be serious about it. And sometimes even the person who's practice means that there's a tendency to be out of practice. So that tendency has to be actively resisted. Why are these four rules given? Know this, know this, know that. Because the mind will say, what about this? And therefore one has to remember, no, I promised my spiritual master, no. Know this, know this, know this, know this. So at that time, determination. The Rupa Goswami says two things, enthusiasm and determination. And the more we're enthusiastic, the easier it is to be determined, the easier it is, tat tat karma pravartana, to follow all the principles. The more we keep devotee association and avoid the materialistic association, the more natural and easy these things become. Yeah.
Thank you so much,
Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Something else? Yes.
While having sex with wife, we were remembering Krishna. We were chanting Krishna at that time.
You're chanting Hare Krishna.
So sometimes it occurs that Maya comes between us at that time. I want to say that when we were having sex, so the Maya comes between us. My question is that how to get it off Maya?
Chant Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Therefore, Prabhupada instructed his disciples that before having sex, the husband and wife should chant Hare Krishna mantra 50 malas, 50 rounds.
Okay.
The mantra keeps Maya away.
Yeah.
50 rounds. That used to be common knowledge. I don't know if it's still common knowledge. Because in Vedic culture, there's garbhadan, samskar, all of these things. But our process is to chant Hare Krishna. That purifies the mind. And according to the mentality of the mother and father, you get a particular kind of child.
Is it possible to keep away Maya during sex?
Is it possible to keep away Maya while having sex? Dharmaviruddha bhute kamosmi. Krishna says, I'm sex. If you're having sex for the service of Krishna, under the direction of the spiritual master, then it's not Maya. Just like killing. Killing is not very good. But you can kill for Krishna also. If you're Arjuna and Krishna is ordering you, you can kill also. We're not against sex. You can even say sex is good. Because Krishna is good, and Krishna says, I'm sex. But dharma viruddha, when it's not contrary to dharma. And the corollary is that if it is contrary to dharma, then it's maya. So we don't say no sex. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that one of his householder devotees, the wife was pregnant. He was very pleased. He gave that this child should be given this good name. He didn't say, oh, they were having sex. Don't they know the philosophy? No, he was pleased. He understood the wife is pregnant. There must have been sex. But he was pleased. Yes, give this child good name, Puridas. And the child became a great poet, Kavi Karnapur. So such children are wanted. And you can have hundreds and thousands of children like that. But dharma viruddha bhuteshu, when it's not against the regulative principles. Against the regulative principles means maya. And according to the regulative principles for the service of Krishna, that's Krishna. All right. Well, the bell rang. Thank you. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.